Legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA. Who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie!
All right, ready or not, here we come. Man, have I got the guest for you guys today. If you're following me on Facebook, I've got a... somebody called her a pistol, a firecracker. You got a handful there. Anyway, I've got Gina Swoboda on the phone. Gina, how are you?
Paul, I am great. What's going on? I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
I haven't even known you, if you want to call a telephone call, knowing you or knowing somebody. I haven't even known you 24 hours. And I feel like I know you, though. She's the former Arizona GOP chair. And, boy, that's a job qualification right there on its own. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday, February 4th, 2026, and we're broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. I bet you love that, don't you?
Right on.
So you can find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. This studio, in quotes, is a former break room, okay? And we just kind of put a table in it, and it's real homey. And when you come into the studio next time, you'll see a coffee maker, a teapot, and a bunch of cups because, you know, there's not very many employees here, but we have, like, three times as many coffee cups. Because of all this.
I love that. Didn't Elon, like, he brought the kitchen sink in, or he took it out of Twitter when he made it X? So
maybe.
It's like he dozed the sink. He made room, he dozed the sink.
He dozed.
And now you got room for more stuff.
Right. So, anyway, I don't want to waste too much time, but folks, you already have a text, by the way, that is waiting for you because I told everybody this is going to be. I was getting IMs off the air, you know, instant messages. And ask her this, ask her that. No. Anyway, I said, you know what? You need to text the text line at the studio, 928-727-5566. 928-727-5566. Let's make this talk and text radio, not just listen radio. And Gina's been, you've been binging all night, you said, on my, not
I
all
love
night,
it.
But most of the night.
I did. I love the episodes. I listened to every episode with Jody, the very amazing chair of the Central Committee in Mojave, beautiful, beautiful Mojave. And I listened to Congressman Gosar and Biggs, our gubernatorial candidate out there, Andy Biggs, and it was just awesome. I dig the vibe.
Well, you picked some good shows, so that's awesome. And then there's some Ron Gould stuff there, too, that's pretty darn good.
Yes. I listened to Ron Gould, who's the wonderful treasurer there at AZGOP, still the treasurer.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And Sonny Borelli. Yeah. Ron's the treasurer at the state party, and the amazing Sonny Borelli, who I was honored to work with down at Ledge as Senator Borelli. Uh-huh. I was his senior policy advisor on the Elections and Judiciary Committee.
Oh, very good. Have you had a chance to work with Leo Biasucci or Hilde Angus or John Gillette?
Yes, I have worked with Mr. Gillette and with the amazing Miss Hilde, who I'm sitting in the parking lot across from the legislature right now.
Oh.
And I just hugged Hilde in the elevator.
Nice.
And Leo also is fantastic. And I was super excited. I have not gotten to work with Leo on bills, but I did get to work with Leo as the party chair. So Mojave has, bar none, the best political team in the state of Arizona, and you are well and truly blessed, which I know you guys know.
I would agree with you. Any team that can score $35 million for a second bridge on the island in Lake Havasu City, that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Amen.
All right, so our first text, I'm not going to say who it's coming from. Well, it says she left a name. They normally don't. I said leave your name if you want it. So it says Margaret Lewis says, "Hi, Paul. I've been following the Muslim invasion for a few months now, and it is terrifying." They're talking about Sharia law. "Did you know this was happening near Phoenix? What can be done?"
So I appreciate the question. I think it is of great concern. I think part of the hadiths that are followed in that particular religion call for people to lie about their intentions, okay, as they come into a culture. And as we've observed, I would say, in Europe, let's just take, I don't know, Western Europe as an example. Once they get a certain density of population, they start to have no-go zones. And I think we're seeing that in certain areas of Michigan already, and I keep seeing coverage in the great state of Texas, where there are just huge kind of enclaves, where they're implementing their own legal system, to your point, under Sharia law. So it's not okay. I'm not aware of it happening in Phoenix, but I did see a tweet yesterday from Laura Loomer, and I saw Congressman Hamadeh respond, and then, like, I think the Planning and Development Review Board or something in the city of Phoenix responded. So someone was talking about setting something up, and I think they were naming it after Qatar, right? Like,
yes,
I don't know, Qatar Village, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there's, if you go to the, thank you so much for the question, and if you go on Twitter, go to Congressman Hamadeh's Twitter feed, okay, because he has linked all of the information where the city of Phoenix is like, oh, somebody talked about naming something, but this wasn't approved. But, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean we take our eyes off of it, because I've heard that from Governor Abbott many times in Texas, and yet these things keep getting built. So I, for one, do not find that religion compatible
with American law,
with Western civilization or American law.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think it's a great concern. And thank you for that question. Yeah.
Okay.
And we should ask our elected officials to keep tabs on that.
I have to play kind of referee today with the length of answers. I can't have you filibustering, but that's okay. As long as I get it out front, no filibustering. That's like new rule, like Bill Maher, right?
On
his show. I love that part of the show. And I used to watch it a lot. So, all right, let's get to, you mentioned Abe Hamadeh running, and he's a congressman, or is he running for Congress, or is he a congressman?
He's in CD 8. He's in that seat now, and he's running for re-election.
He is in that seat. Okay, I was hoping that he didn't go through the whole rigmarole like he did running for state attorney general. And then, you know, the ballots that were left over, and Judge Jansen, what a mess. So
he got robbed.
Anyway, we're not going to go there. Anyway, you had your sights set on Congress as well. Why?
Yes.
Now you're announcing that you're going to run for Arizona Secretary of State. Let's start with the first part. Why not run for Congress?
So, and thank you for the question. So I am still a candidate in Congressional District 1, and I became a candidate in Congressional District 1 because Dave Schweikert, who's been there for 18 years, did not want to stay. And then we had 3 weeks of no one getting in, and I've lived in the district for 31 years, and I was afraid that we were going to lose the seat. And as your outgoing party chair, we have to have Arizona 1 and Arizona 6. Arizona 6 is Juan Ciscomani. Those two seats are in the top five targets of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, okay?
And that means a lot of money is going to be funneled into those districts for advertising.
Yep.
Yes.
And they're trying to take those seats to take the president from us, okay? So to be clear, everyone listening knows they're going to impeach him if we lose the House. So I talked to the White House multiple times. I got in the race with the president's endorsement, okay? Yes. I was the only one in the race. Now fast forward, Jay Feeley was running for the big seat in Congressional District 5.
Hold up just a second. Jay Feeley, Cardinals former kicker Jay Feeley, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct. Was running in the Biggs District. But then Sheriff Lamb, so this is musical chairs, ladies and gentlemen, Sheriff Lamb got into CD5 with the Trump endorsement, and then Jay Feeley got into CD1 against me with a dual Trump endorsement.
Oh, man.
Then Joe Chaplick, the member of our House Freedom Caucus, also got in. Okay, so, and then a very nice gentleman who's a self-made multimillionaire named John Trobo got in. So right now in CD1, there are four people running, two have the Trump endorsement, and we're all gonna, and as the chair in my former life as chair, it drives me crazy when we have
me too.
A lot of talent all fighting for the same thing, and we beat each other up, and we spend money and it hurts us. I got in to save that seat for the president. I've been talking to the White House for a week. about what is it that you want me to do, because now the congressional leadership team of Speaker Johnson and the whip, et cetera, have also endorsed Jay Feely. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, you know, is this where you want me? Because I got in here because this is where you wanted me. And as part of that conversation, they started talking about the Secretary of State's office.
I got you.
And anyone who knows me should know I worked there. I love that office. If someone said, Gina, what is it you want to do, Gina? What would you like to do? What do you dream about doing? Yes, I love that office. It's a filing office. Adrian Fontes, boo, is
right.
a
but that's not
Marxist.
But that's not the primary. There's already a Republican who's established,
there
sort
is.
Of, that's running for Secretary of State. So you kind of contradicted yourself there.
Well, is there a Republican who can win that office?
Alexander Kolodin?
Yes, and I do not believe Alex has any chance of winning that race whatsoever.
Not against
Adrian.
No.
Well, right. So we need, that's the ultimate goal,
is
the person in the primary beating Adrian Fontes. So I'm going to go where the president asked me to go.
See?
I've said that from the beginning.
See, yeah. at least I'm fair. I'm going to call you on your stuff, right?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah, always.
Perfect.
No, it is fair. So the president's got two people in one, and the president's got nobody in secretary.
Okay.
And whoever we run has to win, because they're going to write the manual in 2027 that controls the 2028 election.
I see.
Okay, that's, the Secretary of State does a lot of things. That's the, as far as elections, that's the most important thing they do. That thing has the force of law, and as the party chair, I've sued over it, over the things Adrian puts in there, multiple times, and the courts keep telling me I cannot stop him. So the only way to stop him from twisting our rules into a pretzel,
right,
and making it uneven is to take that office back. And so, you know, there's money in elections. It's not the end-all be-all, but I raised $200,000 in 10 weeks in my race for Congress, mm-hmm, and my opponent in the primary raised $58,000 in 3 months. So, you know,
okay, let me ask you this, Gina.
Yeah.
How much do you think you will need to raise to win the primary, and then how much do you think you'll need to raise to beat the incumbent?
I think I need $400,000 in the primary, and I think I need $1 million in the general.
See, that's what I like about you. You're not going to say, well, I need enough to do this and enough to do that. You have an actual amount. You have a goal in mind. Is that how is that how you raise money?
Yeah. My target was 150 for the first 10 weeks where I got into CD1, and I hit 208.
Okay.
So I give myself a target, and then I need to blow past it.
So then the other question is, you see it in movies and that, do you make the phone calls, or do you go meet the people in person, or do you do a little bit of both? And are these people that are familiar to you, or are they people that you want to win them over?
I do both, and the answer to that's both. So I pay for a fundraising team, and like I sit in a room, and they have a little database, and they give me names and tell me about the people, and I cold call people. Like when I was a kid, I used to sell magazines over the phone.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I used to sell candy door to door, right, for school.
So did I.
And exactly, right on. And I also call people I know. So of the like $200,000 that I raised in the last quarter, I'm going to say probably 60% of it is people from across the country who know me, because I used to run my foundation to clean up the voter rolls.
Okay.
So that was a nonprofit, and I spent 4 years of my life traveling the country trying to tell people we need to clean the voter rolls. So those people trusted me to go to Congress to fight for elections.
Okay.
And if that's not what the president wants me to do, then I'll stay in Arizona and fight for elections. But that's the thing that's the most important thing to me.
So there's been talk, and I've talked to a few insiders about this, about the Arizona GOP chair job, the Republican Party chair for the state. And they say it's not about this candidate, that candidate. It's not about, you know, herding cats. It's about raising money. Now, and
100%.
It is 100%, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't do anything without the money. When I got in the chair, it was a smoking crater in the ground where money should be, okay?
And really?
So the first thing,
and I know when you took over the chair. So we're not going to name any names, but I remember.
It was a disaster, right?
Yes.
So we were about $500,000 in debt all in, and then I had a $1.2 million balloon payment on the office condo from hell, right? So from heck. So I sold that condo. I put $646,000 back in the building fund. I've got almost $200,000 in a fund for the Siskamani seat, okay, and I did what I raised $20 million in the 10 months I was in the chair. $17 million of that came from other committees, okay, the congressional committee, the RNC, and $3 million was me calling people and saying, "You need to help me save the Constitutional Republic. I need President Trump. I have to save Arizona. Send me money now." And as I have said to people, they're like, "How do you do that?" I'm not embarrassed to ask for people to help me fight to save the country or to save the president and to save Arizona. Like, that's the job.
Well, there's a saying in the nonprofit world: they can't say no if you don't ask.
Amen.
Okay, they can't say no. Or the other thing that works, Gina,
I can't say yeah.
It's for the kids.
Oh my God! And it is. I would say to people, "Are you going to tell your grandchildren that you lost the Constitution?"
There you go.
If I'm not, where will you say you were when everything was on the line to save this country and all the people who bled and died for us? Right.
Yeah.
Of which, you know, Supervisor Borelli, Senator Borelli is one that I was so proud I got to work with that man. These people have given up everything for us generation after generation. I'm not going to be the one to let it go.
Oh, I like that.
All
right. So you're running for Secretary of State. And at the same time, this is going to be our last question before the break. Coincidentally, now they're talking about moving the primary back to probably July 21st instead of, what, August 4th?
Yep.
Why is this a coincidence or not?
Well, the counties have been wanting to move it earlier. I will say they're also moving the filing deadline to submit your signatures to get on the ballot earlier.
Right.
And it is possible to keep the filing deadline as April 6th, but instead they're going to move it up to the end of March. So what that will mean is I have to get 10,000 signatures in 44 days.
Oh, so no kidding.
Yeah, so if that happens, you know, that's a godsend.
You can do
right?
it.
I'm gonna fight like crazy. Yep.
You'll work Sundays and skip church. I know that. Or skip Mass, right?
No, I will never. I'm going to Mass. I'm going. If I don't go to Mass, then nothing else counts. I'm going to Mass, and then I will. But I do. I work 7 days a week. I do Trump hours, so you got to work 20 hours a day.
So you,
and people
okay.
can go online. You know, you can go. The Secretary of State's office has that e-qual thing online.
Yes.
So, like, if you go Google, like, well, don't go to Google because it's evil, but if you go to DuckDuckGo or whatever and you do AZSOS and you put EQUAL, EQUAL, it brings up all the petitions. You put your information in and it's a secure website and it'll show you everybody who you're eligible to sign for them online instead of waiting for someone to come with your paper. And when you do that, they can't challenge that signature in court because it validates you against motor vehicles.
Okay.
It's like, oh yeah, that's Gina. Yeah.
I know you can't hear it, but I'm playing you off right now, like at the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
I got Sweet Child of Mine on right now, but I got a question.
Oh, my God, I love it.
A question surrounds your last name. Are you related to Ron Swoboda?
I am. My husband is. Yeah, the 69 Miracle Mets, and you know I'm from Flushing in Queens originally, and I sat in my parents' driveway and listened to the 86 World Series where we won the second time. So
man.
It's only twice in my lifetime, but I love it. Yeah, it's
man.
A relative of my husband, Rob Sabota.
Bill,
I love.
Can I say effing Buckner? Holy cow. I remember that. I was watching that game. I remember that live, yeah. And my father has a Red Sox logo on his tombstone. So,
oh, my God.
On his gravestone.
God bless him.
Anyway, we're going to take a short break. Gina Swoboda, my guest, former Arizona Republican Party chair, amongst other things. And she's got her sights set on the Arizona Secretary of State's office, which means you would be a heartbeat away from governor. Do you realize that?
Well, it's traditional in Arizona at this point. But this cycle, remember, we have lieutenant governor for the first time. So when you're running for Secretary of State now... Yes, we will have our very first lieutenant governor in history. We passed that at the ballot a couple years ago.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
And finally now it's kicking in. And so now the person that runs for SOS should actually be someone who's trying to actually be the SOS. Because I think the current SOS wants to be the governor.
Oh,
and I think that's why Mr. Fontes is there. Yeah.
Although he would increase the intelligence quotient quite a bit, I have to say.
That's not much of a challenge, Paul. Really, the bar is kind of low.
All right.
I'm just saying.
We got to go to break, Tina. I'm going to take a short break. All right, back with more on Speak Out in a moment. Again, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Give us or Send us a text, 928-727-5566. 928-727-5566. And back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Little Tom Sawyer for Marissa June, my production assistant, feeling a little under the weather this week, but never fear, she will crawl out of her little turtle shell, I suspect, by next week, and she'll be fine. So, anyway, thinking about you here at the studio, Marissa June, and Little Rush, that's one of her favorite bands. I have to tell Gina, my production assistant's email has the words Spirit of Radio in it.
All right, rock and roll. I love that.
We were talking off the air about concerts and that, and I told her my Queen story. And, is that a classic story or what?
That is an epic story.
And then, I'm not that into it, Mom.
Right? Well, Nine Inch Nails opened for David Bowie down here, like, I don't know, a couple of decades ago.
Uh-huh.
And everyone was booing Bowie because he wasn't playing any of his OG tunes. And people were like, I want to hear Changes. And he was playing new stuff. And it was like, I love you, Bowie, but I want to hear, you know, old stuff.
Well, Bowie has, like, three or four times he was reinvented. So I got to get to the billboards. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blomsey Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. Melissa says hi to you, by the way. She's a big fan. Melissa Lucas, the owner of Blomsey's. And AMB Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And if you recognize the name Melissa Lucas, she's the owner of Blomsey's. And she likes to do the political rallies when you guys give her a chance.
Right on.
The outdoors. So she has a huge, huge, huge parking lot. So... All right, let's. I want to get to. We talked about the Secretary of State's office and that, but why did you step down as Arizona GOP chair? That was kind of a mystery to me. Was it to run for Congress or run for office, or were you just okay? I've done what I needed to do here. I took them from the red to the black. It's time to move on.
I got in the chair twice because the president asked me to, and then the body decided that they would accept the president's offer. So this is an upside-down pyramid. The grassroots run this party. The chair goes and comes when they tell him to. The president asked me twice to get in the chair, so I got in the first time when it was on fire, and then I stayed because he asked me to stay. And then this thing happened where the seat was open, and I thought we were going to lose it, and I called, and I said, what do you want me to do? And the answer was, I endorse you. And I was like, okay, that's clear. And then I asked the body, what do they want me to do? Because this is their party. And if the state committeemen had been comfortable and said, Gina, you can run while you're in the chair, I would have stayed. But that they need to make that choice. They didn't sign up for that. And I gave them the opportunity. And you know, they chose to make a change. And I embraced that. And I'm going to help the new chair just as much as they'll let me. I had a nice three-hour meeting with Sergio Arellano the other day.
Okay.
He's really engaged. He seems terrific. And, you know, he won by, like, over 160 votes. So the body is moving forward in a good direction. And, yeah, the last thing, though, that was hanging over me was selling that condo. Like, I was not going to leave. There was a $1.2 million balloon payment due in June of this year. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, pardon the expression, was like a gun loaded to the side of your head waiting. You can't run a political party with that kind of debt. So I wiped that off the books, and I felt that it was okay to pass the torch if the body chose to do that. And they did.
Did Sergio send you a big box of chocolates for that move? Because I would have.
No, thank you. No, and I do love chocolate. No. Yeah, it you know, look, God, it's always, it's his will, right? It's not our plan. It's his plan. I am thick-headed. I don't always hear him. The hardest thing for me is to be still, like just be still and listen. I'm not still. And if he opens the door, I'm going to walk through it. If he closes the door, then I'm supposed to go the other way. And so... he gave me whatever I needed when I was in that chair to get that done. Because make no mistake, that wasn't me. that is God that saved this country. And so, you know, I'm going to fight to try to save the Secretary of State's office because we have to. And I'm here for the party. I love our people. They are the reason that Arizona is where we are today, and they saved this country.
Okay.
They saved this country.
Okay. Yeah. What? So that said, what is the state of the state GOP right now? What condition are they in? Are they in good hands with Sergio Arias? And I don't expect you to say no. And I know that's kind of a candy coated question, but give me the. You're not a candy coated person. You don't candy coat things.
I don't. That's
and
what the
did you
likes.
Did you yeah. endorse him? Did you get to help pick him? And why not?
No.
Number one. And what is the state of the state of the GOP party?
So the chair, in my opinion, there's no bylaw on the party elections themselves. There's a bylaw that says you're neutral, you treat all candidates fairly in a contested Republican primary.
Yeah, yeah,
okay?
Whatever.
So, okay, well, but it's a big deal because we've had chairs endorse gubernatorial candidates, and I'm telling you now, the base doesn't like that, and part of them will stay home if they're angry, and then we lose. But in the political party role, there's no rules about it. Gina, just think it's wrong to put my fingers on the scale. I did not endorse anyone. I did not work for anyone. Every candidate who called me and said, can I meet with you? I met with them. I gave them the lay of the land. I spent hours with them telling them how everything works. The number one issue right now, so they were left whole and hearty with no debts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got the money in the building fund. That should stay there and be used for rent and if you want to buy a new HQ. They got the money in the committee for the congressional seat. They now have to raise their own money. And I told the people who reached out to me that were running, not all of them did, and that's fine too, but I told them the day that I put out the announcement that I'm going to step aside, the donors stopped, okay? Because, you know, you're the CEO essentially, and you make all the decisions about how to spend the money with the permission of your treasurer, right? So if they don't know who the CEO is, why would you invest in that company, right? So
the
money that was coming back to the party stopped. I bent my way down. I paid for the whole meeting up front. All right. We went long. It was 11 hours because we're passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bill for the AV for the extra hours. And I talked to a donor who, you know, made a contribution to make sure that bill got paid. But I paid everything up front. So right now, that party now has to bring the donors back. And the way you do that, like, I had a business plan. You know, you and I talk about it. Like, tell me what you're going to do. Tell me how much you need to do it. Tell me what the ROI is on what you're going to do. 71% of the $20 million I raised went to voter contact. 71%. My immediate two predecessors ago spent like less than 6% on voter contact. That's the difference between winning and losing. Okay? They had a party in 2022 for $400,000. You know what I spent on a party?
No.
Nothing. Because parties are for closers. And you can have your own party after we save the country. So But that's the pitch that and people argue to me, like, you have to have a party. I'm like, no, I really don't. It takes us 2 weeks to count ballots in Maricopa. We have no idea who's going to win, and people are going to come to the party that didn't do the work. I sent, after we won everything, I sent, you know, small checks, but I sent checks to the county parties and said, go have a party for your people. They're the ones who did the work.
Okay.
So the number one job of the person that's in there, and everybody, you know, help them, like, reach out. In other states, people pay in Tennessee $50 a year to the Tennessee GOP to beat a Republican in Tennessee. That's the law. In Nevada, the candidate to be on the ballot as a presidential nominee, I think it's like $500,000 or $1 million they pay the state party. We don't have any of that in Arizona. It's us and what we can raise. And it would be good, in my opinion, if the committee man and committee woman helped raise money for the chair, because that's really what they're supposed to do.
Right.
But that's the heavy lift.
Now I got to stop you right there. We were talking last night about the new voter rules, the election rules. Now, tried to get it on the same page with Florida, which would mean everything was counted that night. I was amazed to find out you had a big hand in this, but what happened? And, you know, just the 3-minute little synopsis of what actually happened. What did you put in the hopper and what did you get?
So I wrote the bill. It was called the Florida style election bill. It was 1001 last session, and we wrote it. We talked to the Cord Bird, the Secretary of State of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at what does Florida do that we can do because we're different. And the biggest problem we have in Maricopa, the great state of Maricopa, is they're dropping off their mail ballot on election day in an envelope.
Right.
So then it's got to go through signature verification, separation, all that nonsense. That's what's taking 8 or 9 days. In that bill, we cut it off. Those are called late earlies. And we said, if you want to walk your mail ballot into a polling place, you have to do it by 7 p.m. the Friday before election day.
Yeah, you have to.
Because otherwise, you're not early voting anymore.
You have 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah. Yes, and if you can't do that, then get on the line and vote election day voting like everybody else. We had be able to tabulate your early ballot on site. So if you have your ballot at home and you like to do it at home, come in, show ID, and stick it in the machine. Or if you're a county that doesn't have tabulators on site, be able to go online, show your ID, stamp it, ID verified. Now they don't have to do signature verification, okay? Yeah. They can just take it back to Central Count. When it got to the House, so I did that on the Senate side. Again, very, very proud that I'm blessed to work. When it got to the State House, they added a provision that said, you've got to do a postcard every year, if you're on the mail ballot list, a postcard every year saying you want the ballots, okay?
Okay.
That Florida does that. We didn't do that because we knew the governor would veto that, and the other provisions were important. The House insisted on it being on there, and guess what she did? She vetoed it.
Right, I remember.
If you poison pill the bill, man, you're not getting anywhere.
The original, as I remember it, you had to the recorder's office. You had to walk into the recorder's office, and it had to be there by 7 o'clock the Friday before. Is that correct?
It was 7 o'clock the Friday before at the polling place, but you could still drop it on election day. But to do that, you had to go all the way to the recorder's office.
That's ridiculous. No, that you could still do it on election day is ridiculous. After what happened in Nevada to Adam Laxalt, come on. That's just ridiculous.
We talked about the Culinary Workers Union just keeps finding ballots.
So you're right. It reminded me of the old days, but I'm not, I digress. So anyway, are we looking at a voter referendum now?
We are, and that's one of the reasons I'm at Ledge today, is they're going to put a referral on the ballot. I wish it was a statutory referral, not constitutional. I don't like to add a bunch of stuff to the state constitution.
Right.
But now the Democrats have their own to try to counter the one that's coming out. Okay, so now we're going to have two conflicting election ballot measures on the ballot, which is going to confuse the voters, and nothing may end up passing.
Ranked choice voting, we had the same thing, didn't we? And we defeated that.
I kicked the hell out of it. So
good
I got
for you.
Spent.
Right
I
on.
Did. I crushed it. I traveled this country to defeat ranked choice voting, ladies and gentlemen.
Good for you.
Gina the nerd. I got outspent more than 20-1. I did 400,000 pieces of mail. I did digital. If you were watching YouTube TV or Google TV, you saw my guy dressed up like a clown saying Maricopa elections are a mess. Don't do California elections. We crushed it. And that is why that guy that ran that, Paul Johnson, and lost, has taken over the No Labels Party, and he's changing the name of that party to the Arizona Independent Party, which will hurt every Republican, which is why my last act as chair was to file litigation to overturn that.
Okay.
We cannot allow there to be, it will confuse the voters and we'll lose votes. And so they're trying to crush the party primary system. They want everyone to run to the middle. I want our people to run on a platform. If you can't stick by the Republican platform, then don't be a Republican. That's the latest news flash for the idiots in the ranked choice voting.
There you go. You could be a PND like me, right?
You can be a PND.
Is that we got to keep this short because I'm running some Pat Benatar under you right now. And we're going to break. I know you like Pat Benatar. Just hit me with your best shot. What else would I play for you? You're from Brooklyn, right?
Queens,
my bad. That's what you have in common with Donald Trump, for crying out loud. I can tell.
Do.
You know,
exactly.
I feel, Joe Rogan ain't got nothing, all right? He's got 3 hours. I got 45 minutes with the breaks, right? Or without the breaks. All right.
Right.
Anyway, I'll ask you coming up after the break, is it a bad thing to be a PND? All right? Because everyone in the Republican Party is like, oh, you're a PND? Like I have something, like I'm afflicted, you know?
We need you.
I know, but you do.
We don't need you.
But you really don't. You already have my heart and my mind. You just don't have my soul.
People who don't want to wear the R, and I don't want to step over Pat Benatar, but remember, there's stuff going on in Congress where they're not doing what the president wants, and there are people who don't want the label because they don't like what Congress is doing. That doesn't mean they don't support the platform. You can be a PND all day long if you pull my ballot and you vote with us.
You got it. That's a deal. All right. Gina, you weren't really talking over Pat at the time. I am right now. You were talking over Neil Girardo, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Shoot us a text, 928-727-5566. Oh, I have to give you a couple messages, by the way. Jeannie Kench sent you a message, and if I can get in my text here, it says, hold on. I know this is great radio, right? Tell Miss Gina we are thrilled she is going to be our next SOS, or Secretary of State. I thought that was pretty cool, right? And then Sonny Borelli texted me the voter authentication Equal online petition link. So I'm going to be posting that. Jody gave that to me yesterday. And anyway, a lot of people pulling for you here in Mojave County. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back on Speak Out, all right? Stay with us, everybody.
Woo-hoo.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. And as Klaus Meine used to say on KOMP, KOMP, rocking Las Vegas. The Scorpions, I know you love the Scorpions if you love rock and roll. So
I do. I have a drumstick from the Scorpions, actually.
Whoa, Herman Rarebell. Nice. Very cool.
I love it.
I saw them, and I don't know if you recognize the name Girl School, but I saw Girl School open for the Scorpions. It was wild.
Oh, my gosh.
Kelly Johnson on guitar. Wow.
I caught that at the Monsters of Rock.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was Big City Nights.
Sure. And then if you go on YouTube and you see the US Festival 83, I'm somewhere in that massive humanity on Heavy Metal Day.
All right, I'm checking it out. I love it.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, samsguns.com, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. Don't forget to shop local, because small business is kind of a big deal. And you know, I was asking somebody who was on the show yesterday from WACOG, Western Arizona Council of Governments, if shop local is a big deal where she's from. She drove up from Yuma just to be here. Is it a big deal where you're from? What city do you live in, Gina?
I'm in Scottsdale, in Stevie Wonder down here in Maricopa. And or Blue Hell, we're trying very hard to hold the line. I'm trying.
Right.
So I do the farmers market, and they're trying to move it in Old Town. Used to be Old Town Scottsdale. Now they want to call it Downtown Scottsdale, and they're trying to put a parking there. So
anyway,
I feel like Joan Baez, but we do try. We do try to shop local.
Why is it that ball players that make millions of dollars, right, like your Ketel Martes, they live in Scottsdale where they're going to pay more tax? I don't get it.
I know. Go! I know. I've been trying to get Rob to move to Mojave for 10
Mojave County?
Of 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
You're right. You're safe. They can't get to you.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, plus, there's that theory of the Mojave times three, right? If Mojave County has, you get three times the vote of your opponent in Mojave County. I'm going to check to see if this is true now with you. If Carrie Lake had gotten three times more votes in Mojave County than Katie Hobbs, would she have won that race? They say it counters.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So it does counter Maricopa County.
Yes. She lost by 17,000 votes.
Oh, so that would effectively cancel out Maricopa County.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Mojave and Yavapai together can swing Maricopa. And I mean, I say this all the time. The rural, you're not winning a statewide race in this state unless you can go to the rural counties and talk to the rural counties and earn their vote. No one owes it to you. Republicans aren't putting a little bubble next to your name because you have R next to your name.
Right.
You have to listen to the people and earn their vote and respect them. And I don't know why, and if you want to talk about Texas, I think that's part of what went wrong.
I do. We talked about that in the break. What happened in that state Senate race in Texas? Mind you, it's not a congressional race or anything like that, but I would hate to be the state GOP chair or anyone in the RNC and have to explain a 31-point swing from a Trump county or a Trump district to now a 14, what was it, a 14-point win by Democrats?
Yeah, yeah.
How did this happen?
Yeah, so it's Tarrant County, so it's the reddest county, the largest reddest county in the country, actually, and the reddest county in Texas. So here are the candidates, right? You got on the Democrat side a Boeing machinist guy who's went out and talked to people about the economy and what do you care about. And there's a large Hispanic bloc, and they cared about public education, okay, and they cared about jobs, like many people. And then on the Republican side, you had a woman who I'm sure was very nice, who had spent a lot of her time, she was very conservative, and she was very focused on turning over seats on the school board. And it seems, based on a cursory review of what went on, she was not talking to the families that lived in the school districts. She was coming from, like, outside some of these school districts, replacing people on the school board without talking to the families about how they felt about that.
Oh, no.
So the Republicans turned out. So the problem we have here is I'm hearing everybody say, it's a turnout problem, it's a special election. No, it's not. The majority of the voters in that election were Republicans, and they voted for the Democrat because the Democrat spoke to them about what they actually cared about, which was jobs. That Boeing factory has a lot of jobs, okay, and the public education issue. So we keep talking about a turnout model, and you always have to have turnout. Okay, that's 101. However, I think it's a persuasion cycle. In a midterm, your hardcore voters are who is coming, okay? You need to talk to them about what they care about and then advocate for policies to make their lives better or to protect what they have in their lives now, which, look at that idiot that got elected in Virginia, Spamberger, who said she was a moderate. She's taxing, it's like the Kinks song or the Beatles song, like she's taxing everything that moves.
The tax man,
so
yeah.
Yeah, she has no mandatory minimums on rapists, violent rapists, and then when the victims try to go to therapy, they're going to tax your psychotherapy. Mm. These are deranged people that will crush our economy, and we have to remind people of that. But again, you have to listen to the voters and meet them where they are. You can't lecture them about what you think is better for their life. That's the whole point of why we're for limited government, okay? I want to be left alone. I want to live my life my way. I want you to just regulate what has to be regulated for the public safety. I don't want to be taxed to death, and I don't want you to come and tell me what I need in my life. And unfortunately, that's what the messaging seems to have been in that district. And so if people don't get it together and start to listen to the voters that are actually going to vote, it's not going to look good come November.
Okay. 2028. Right? Race for POTUS, President of the United States.
Yeah.
I like the ticket of J.D. Vance and Governor DeSantis. I love the ticket. Yeah, one from Ohio, one from Florida. Okay, there's two states down, right? Two swing states. Who do you like in that race? And we have about 2 minutes. I'm
so,
talking about as a nominee for the Republicans.
Have you thought about it? I have. You know who's really impressed me and I think has come a long way from where I thought they were? Marco Rubio.
Oh, my goodness.
Marco Rubio is like a superstar. He's got like 55 jobs. I love the memes of him. It's like poker cards.
Yep.
Where like he's in every different outfit. And the president trusts him and leans on him, and he's getting it done.
Marco,
so I just think he's a tremendous asset.
Marco's like a man amongst boys, was a term we used in sports.
Yeah.
He's a man amongst boys now. He looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. He's delivering the goods, as Judas Priest would have said.
Nice. So Marco at the top of your ticket?
I like them all. Like I want them to come and show us what they're going to do. I will say DeSantis was a very successful governor. I didn't like when he tried to run against the president. I'm super loyal to the president, so I get my back up a little bit, but I gotta let it go. But he was very good as governor, and I will say, the thing with the visas, the immigration visas,
yes,
like, you know, this was my problem with Ted Cruz in 2016. He wanted to increase those H-1B visas by 500%.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Those are taking our STEM jobs.
You got a minute.
Then they're doubling H-2B, which takes our other jobs. So the American people need to come first. And when you filled up every job and there's no unemployed Americans, then, you know, we reach out. Okay. So whoever wants to run on America first is someone I will get behind.
I got you. Is Nikki Haley done then? And just a short yes or no, as a prosecutor would say.
I hope so.
Oh, okay, very good.
I'm not a neocon. If we go neocon, I might wind up back with you in PND someday.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I
don't know if we want you as a PND. All right. No, Gina Swoboda has been a gas. Let's put it that way. It's a gas, right? Oh, man. I got Pearl Jam on right now, Alive by Pearl Jam. We want to remind people, Gina Swoboda is still alive. She's running for Secretary of State. I'm not campaigning for you, but I can send people to my Facebook page, and I'll post the link up so you can get the signature on her petitions. How's that?
Thank you. God bless you. Rock and roll. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Mojave. I love you guys.
Gina, thanks for joining me. We're going to take this right up to the top of the hour. Sean Hannity's up next. Thank you for joining us on Speak Out. Now I can see.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.